Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to The Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can easily get to a healthy weight and get on with your life. If you'd like to join me today, the number here in the studio is 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. I would love to hear what's on your mind. So Christmas is over. For those of you who celebrate Christmas, I hope you had a wonderful holiday. Today is the first day of Kwanzaa, so happy Kwanzaa to those of you who are celebrating that. And you know what's next, right? New Year's! We're going to say goodbye to 2018 and hello to 2019. Isn't that incredible? I can't believe it. This year just flew by. Like 2019? What? So today I'm going to talk about New Year's resolutions. Are you making New Year's resolutions? If so, you're going to want to hear this. Lots of us make New Year's resolutions. We start off with great intentions. We are determined to start exercising, to start eating healthy, to start doing something that's good for us. And we vow to stop behaviors like binging or overeating or making unhealthy food choices. Somewhere along the line, our resolve fizzles and boom, it is back to square one. If this sounds familiar, here are some tips to make 2019 different. Okay, first of all, stop trying so hard. Resolutions are usually phrased in terms of trying to make changes. Like, I'm going to try to lose weight. I'm going to try to be healthier. I'm going to try to get to the gym more often. But keep in mind, there is no trying. There is either doing or not doing. Yes, I am a huge Star Wars fan. This is straight from a Yoda. I'm not even going to try to attempt my Yoda impersonation because it is cringe-worthy. Okay, but there is no try. So instead of trying, do this. Make a different kind of resolution. Instead of resolving to change your behavior, make a resolution to shift your relationship to yourself. Resolve to be kinder to yourself. Resolve to listen to your inner voice. You know, that inner voice that kind of sometimes knows what you don't want to know. Resolve to prioritize your needs and wants. Resolve to be curious instead of critical. Remember that loving your body only when it's perfect is like loving your kids only when they behave perfectly. Unconditional self-regard means accepting yourself and appreciating yourself and being kind to yourself without having to look a certain way, without having to be a certain weight, without having to have a certain job or a relationship status or whatever it is that you think you need to do. So here are some other New Year's resolutions that are totally doable. None of them have to do with restricting calories, carbs, or fat grams or exercising more. Okay, ready? Here we go. First of all, let's talk about why most resolutions fail. Hold on. I'm gonna pause myself for a second because I'm not getting any internet. So I'm gonna take myself off Wi-Fi. Okay, so that people on Instagram can actually see this. All right. I'm back. I am live. So first, let's talk about why most resolutions fail. Instead of setting specific measurable goals for ourselves, we often set broad intentions like exercise more, eat healthier. We don't think about exactly how we're going to exercise more. What does that look like? What does that mean? We don't think about what eating healthy actually means, or if we do, we set unrealistic expectations about what we should be doing differently. Like, I'm going to go to the gym every day for an hour and a half, or, you know, I'm going to only eat 10 carbs a day. I'm never going to eat sugar. So that doesn't work. What does work is setting goals that are specific and attainable, so you know exactly what you need to do to accomplish it, and then it's much more likely you're going to do it. So first, set a daily intention. It could be as simple as deciding today you're not going to turn to food for comfort. If something happens, if your kids drive you crazy, if your family drives you crazy, if your boss or your friends gets on your nerves, if something happens, you're not going to turn to food for comfort. You're going to do something else. Maybe take your dog for a 10-minute walk instead of feeling obligated to go for an hour hike. Then you never end up leaving the house, right? Like, oh, I can't go for an hour. But you know what? You can go for 10 minutes. I bet you can go for 10 minutes or even 5. Every minute matters. It can mean taking a walk over your lunch hour instead of staying at your desk. And if you feel like you're living on autopilot, start your day by setting an intention to help you feel more control of your life and your actions. Just do something a little different. And over time, these small intentions, guess what? They lead to big changes. Because, you know, you may only go for a 5 or 10 minute walk, or you may go for a 5 or 10 minute walk and end up walking for 30 minutes. Then you're going to feel all good about yourself. So just do something, but do it small. Start off small. Number two suggestion, cross off the toughest task on your to-do list first. Figure out what the toughest, most important, or most intimidating task you want to get done by the end of the day or the end of the week, and tackle it first. That way it's done. It's not hanging over your head, not stressing you out at the end of the day. And don't tell yourself, I'm going to go to the gym after a grueling day at work. Go before work. Go during lunch. Take a walk at lunch like I just mentioned. Just get it over with first. Because you know what's going to happen when you're like, oh, today at the end of the day, I'm going to come home. I'm going to change. I'm going to go to the gym. It's going to be great. You know what happens at the end of the day? Yeah, you know what happens. You're like, I'm exhausted. I can't go to the gym. I'm exhausted. I just need to sit and veg out in front of a TV. And then you beat yourself up, and then you turn to food because you feel so bad about not going to the gym. Let's break this cycle. Just give yourself the chance to do something different. Okay, the next suggestion is to get in the habit of deep breathing. Now, I just want to say I have never been a fan of just breathe through it, that advice, just breathe through it. When I was giving birth, for example, there was no way that breathing through it was going to help. It was more like gritting my teeth, going, give me drugs now. Yes. Breathing. No, that wasn't going to help. That was not going to help. But apparently, breathing can be helpful in less extreme situations, maybe. And for those of you who could breathe through it while giving birth, my proverbial hat is off to you. That's amazing. I couldn't do it. But according to some researchers, shallow breathing keeps our bodies in a high-stress fight-or-flight mode. But deep breathing sends a message to our brains to relax. So slowing down your breath can slow down all that chatter in your head. It can reduce stress. It can reduce anxiety. It can make your body calmer. And a calmer body leads to a calmer mind. So here's how to do it. You could do this literally everywhere, anytime, anywhere. You just stop. You focus your attention on your breath. Focus on, are you breathing in a shallow way? Because sometimes without realizing it, we hold our breath. I do that. Hold my breath. Or people hold their breath, they just breathe in a really shallow, short way. Like almost not hyperventilating, but sort of on its way to that. So focus on your breath and let all your air out, and then take a deep inhale. And then exhale and repeat. And even if you do it only a few times a day, you can still get a benefit from it. Those of you who like yoga know what I'm talking about. Another just little thing you could do this year, instead of I'm going to go to the gym every day, take the stairs instead of the elevator. Stairs are a great way to quickly get your body moving, get your heart rate up, increase your metabolism. No gym required. You don't have to drive somewhere to get on a Stairmaster. You can just get on the stairs in your building. So it could be the first step, so to speak, to just getting in the habit of moving more, which can encourage you to be more active in other areas of your life. So which of these sound... Ooh, I have a call. Hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina.
Hi, Dr. Nina. It's Nicole. How are you?
Hi, Nicole. Nice to hear from you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I was actually doing the deep breathing exercises in the car as you were explaining them on the show just now.
And?
I feel good. I feel relaxed. I feel like I'm going to try to use that when I feel anxious or just not relaxed, just to like be more in the zone and like chill out, you know?
That's awesome. I have another one for you, actually, for you and everyone else. So if I just say, hey, Nicole, hey, you guys out there, relax, what happens? You cannot relax. But if you tighten up all your muscles as tight as you can for even 10 seconds and just like clench your fists and tight. I'm doing it now. If you guys are watching me, I'm clenching my fists. I'm clenching my abs. I'm clenching my legs. And then like 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then when you let go, you can actually feel the relaxation.
Yeah, like the difference. Wow.
Yeah. And that.
I just did it too. Okay, yeah. That's a good one. Thank you. I've never tried that one.
Well, now you have it, and you could do it anywhere.
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay, so I'm calling today because I don't know. I feel kind of lost in the sense that, like, I don't even know what to eat anymore. Like, I saw your post on Instagram about, like, it's not what you're eating, it's what's eating at you. But I feel like there's nothing specifically eating at me. I'm just, like, so lost with, like, what's good, what's bad. And I know foods aren't good or bad. They're just more healthy or less healthy. But I don't even know what to eat anymore. Like, I don't know. I eat a lot of dairy. I know dairy's. I know nothing in excess.
What did you
is
almost
good.
Say? What were you what? About to say? Dairy is what?
I was going to say dairy's bad, but I know dairy's not bad.
Yeah. Okay, here's a question.
I'm just, like, here's lost. I don't know what to eat.
So here's a question. I think there are two parts to your question. One is you're so in your head about what's healthy and unhealthy. And even though, like we talked about last week, when I say, hey, you can eat whatever you want, you know, just make sure you're eating it from a place of physical need, not emotional need. But you can also get so good at ignoring what's going on emotionally that you just start thinking about what to eat. Now, I was thinking about the nighttime cravings, and you immediately associated to loneliness. So my question for you is, I have my magic wand at my office, but if I had it here I have a pen, I'm waving it at my Instagram screen. And if I could wave this pen over you, this wand, and take away all thoughts of what to eat, foods are good, foods are bad, what I weigh, all of those thoughts, what would be left in your mind? What would be eating at you?
I guess, what would be eating at me? I don't know, just like, I guess a little bit of worry, like I want to be successful, like career stuff, relationship stuff, like love stuff, like, am I going to find my soulmate? Like, who am I going to marry?
Okay.
But I guess I understand the emotional part of it, and I understand that, like, you have to get a handle on your emotions And that's why sometimes eating gets out of control. But I'm at the place where, like, I've tried so many diets and so many nutritionists that I'm so, I'm so trained, like, good foods and bad foods and what to eat to lose weight and what to eat that's going to make you gain weight, that I'm at the point where it's like, okay, I'm telling myself things are not bad, things are not good, everything's fine, be intuitive. But I'm at the point where I don't even know what to eat. Like, I wake up in the morning and I'm like, okay, it's breakfast time, I'm hungry, but, like, what should I eat? I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, as opposed to what do I want to eat? Like, what should I eat still sort of conveys this idea that there's this meal plan out there that you're not aware of. And it's sort of vague, but there's something you should be eating, even though you're telling yourself that's not true. You're still thinking, like, what should I eat? Rather, what do I want to eat? Do I feel like having oatmeal? Do I feel like having toast? Do I feel like having cereal? Do I feel like having eggs? Do I feel like having something totally non-breakfasty? Like, what do I want?
Sense. Yeah, what do I want to eat? Okay, I'm going to write that down. But then I'm trained to think that, like, oatmeal has a lot of carbs. Toast has a lot of carbs. If you want to stay lean, like, eat something low carb, high protein. Like, you know?
Nicole.
Yeah.
You saw me in person, right? You saw me in person. What, would you describe me as thin?
Yes.
I eat toast every single damn day for breakfast. Every single day, because it's what I like the best. With butter.
Yeah.
So those are lies. Yeah. Those are lies that you've taken as truths.
Yeah.
Toast is not going to make you gain weight. You can eat toast and lose weight.
But toast has, like, I don't know, 15 grams of carbs
you gotta
per slice.
So what? We need carb. We need. Here's the thing: is this whole, like, low carb thing, and again, a dietitian can explain this much better than I can, but essentially, all foods eventually turn to carbs in our bodies. We've been sold this idea of low carb as the magic bullet to weight loss, and a lot of people swear by it because they eat keto or whatever, and they feel great, and they lose weight. That's because they're not hungry when they're eating all that protein. And also, that's because they don't feel deprived in certain ways, right?
Right.
So, basically, you've been programmed and sold a erroneous, bad information. All food that's converted into carbs in our bodies. So, don't worry about how many carbs are in something.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, you're right. I guess it's kind of like I've been programmed, and so I'm trying to unprogram myself, but now I'm looking for a new program. Like, what should I program myself with now?
So now you want to not be programmed. You want to be free. You want to be liberated so that you can say, what do I feel like? What do I feel like eating? Not what should I, what's good, what's bad, what's healthy, what's not healthy. What do I feel like? What do I want? And the more you ask yourself that question, the more you're going to find an answer. Oh, I want protein, or I want something, you know, carby and warm, like oatmeal or bread.
Okay. I'm going to try that this week and report back. That's really good. And also, I guess it's kind of like I'm being mean to myself. Like, I'm not allowing myself to have what I want because I'm thinking about what I should have and what's good for me. Like, I'm punishing myself. So maybe I need to just love myself, show compassion to myself, and be good to myself and listen to what I want. And then in return, my body will be good to me.
Exactly.
I don't know. That sounds like crazy, but.
Exactly. Like, look, yesterday, I am not a fan of buffets, but we ended up going. My family went to the Four Seasons for a fabulous buffet. It was incredible. Thank you, Four Seasons. And they had this ridiculous, like, dessert thing. I mean, they had, like, 12 different kinds of crazy desserts. And this woman was like, oh, I shouldn't. She was like, I shouldn't. She kept getting more and more and more. I'm going to be good tomorrow. And I just thought, yeah, thank you. This is exactly what the problem is. If you could have any of it, you know, you might not want it. But if you're like, oh, I shouldn't, but I will because it's Christmas and tomorrow, no more of this, then of course you're going to have way too many desserts, woman at Four Seasons. Right? So,
but let's say you want to lose 5 pounds. Don't you have to cut those things out in order to get there? Like, once you're just trying to maintain, I believe that that's the way to go, but like, what if you want to lose a couple of pounds? Then don't you have to cut out the sweets and stuff until you get there?
No, because you're just setting yourself up then for, you have to eat as if you were already the weight you want to be. And then you will, and then you will be the weight you want to be in time. Because otherwise, what's going to happen is I want to lose 5 pounds. I'm not going to eat sugar. And then, of course, you're going to have an opportunity to eat sugar and you're going to have way too much of it, right?
Yeah,
but
okay, I'm writing that down to eat. What did you say? Eat the way
you would if you were already the weight that you want to be.
You were already the weight you would want to be. Okay, thank you.
And then naturally you will become that weight. You want to be able to get rid of all ideas that say that is forbidden, don't eat that. Because the second you say that, you're setting yourself up. You're doomed. Because you're gonna you're doomed. I cannot overstate it enough.
Okay. Wow, that was so helpful, Dr. Nina. Thank you.
I am so glad to hear that, Nicole, and you call me back and let me know how it goes. So what's your New Year's resolution? A doable one.
So my new, I was listening to like a small, start small. You were saying start small. Mm-hmm. Mine actually doesn't have anything to do with food. It's kind of, I want to laugh more in 2019. I feel like I don't laugh enough, and I just want to laugh and be happy and be silly.
I love that. Wait. I made you laugh. Yes. It's off to a good start, and it's not even 2019.
I know.
I love that.
The crazy part of me wants to say I want to lose the last 5 pounds, but no, I just want to laugh more, and I think that, like, that happiness may translate into other things, so I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, here's another thing to think about, more food for thought. Okay, most people think, when I lose that whatever many pounds, when I lose those pounds, I'm going to be happy. But the reality is, when you're happy, you're going to lose that weight.
Yeah.
It's the opposite.
It's the reverse. You're right. Mm-hmm. Love that.
Well, thank you so much for calling, always asking great questions. And, you know, I look forward to hearing your update next week.
I will update you. Thank you and Happy New Year. And I will listen to the rest of the show now.
Awesome. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah, it's really hard to get out of that kind of sense of being programmed, that we're programmed. Eat this, not that, right? It's, even if we consciously tell ourselves, like Nicole is, everything is okay, I can eat whatever I want, there's still that programming is so strong. So if it's hard for you to kind of make that shift, remember it is a process, and you know, practice makes progress. So the more that you focus on it, the more that you remember, the more you form new neural pathways in your brain, the easier it will be to have like this new way of relating to food and to yourself. Okay, here is a question from Jim. He is from Utah. He says, you've treated lots of folks with binge eating or stress eating. Is there anything they all have in common? And that is a great question, because I have treated people of all ages, genders, backgrounds, ethnicities. I've treated teenagers to grandmothers and grandfathers. And these people collectively could not be more different from each other. Yet every single one of them has one thing in common, one very important thing. Before they came to treatment or before they joined my online program, they didn't know how to respond to themselves when they were upset. Many of them grew up with the message of, oh, look on the bright side, be positive, don't be weak, don't be sad, don't feel that way, I'll give you something to cry about. Sound familiar? None of them learned to comfort themselves when they were upset. So, you know, changing your relationship to food is really about changing your relationship to yourself. The more supportive you can be, the kinder, the nicer, the more present you are with yourself, you'll be able to self-soothe instead of diving into a pint of Ben and Jerry's. So it is difficult, really difficult, to process uncomfortable and painful, difficult feelings. But the more you identify those feelings, the more you process them, the more you cope without food, the better you're going to feel. So this is the opposite of what our culture tells us, by the way. Our culture, our society tells us something along the lines of, don't feel your feelings, right? Don't feel your feelings. Avoid negative emotions. Try to stay positive. We're taught that certain emotions are not appropriate to share, not appropriate to express. But being able to identify and process those emotions is crucial. When you can't, you are limited in your self-awareness and you're restricted in your ability to experience your very life. So remember that emotions are guideposts. They help tell us what's going on in our head and in our hearts. They allow us to understand the people around us. They allow us to understand ourselves. They alert us to danger, right? Emotions can be overwhelming, joyful, exploratory, adaptive. I mean, they serve so many different functions. And also, and here's the thing, we can feel many different things at the same time, right? That's a hard one. Mixed feelings. You know, you break up with someone and you just sort of can't stand them, but you still love them on some level. It's very weird, right? And emotions are a process. Many times we try to control our feelings rather than feel and process them. When we learn to process them and tolerate them and work through them and express them, it makes us more resilient. And by the way, we're not necessarily born with the natural ability to regulate our emotions. We learn from our parents and the people we spend the most time with, which reminds me, if you've listened to the show, you've heard the story already, but you know what? You can hear it again. For those of you who haven't heard the story, here's what happened to me at the park with my oldest daughter when she was young. She ran off to play with some friends on the jungle gym, and I'm just sitting there on the bench, and you know, a few feet away from me are these two little toddlers, little boy and little girl, and they're playing in the sand, and they're digging, and they're digging, and they're eating sand, and they're having a great time, and they're just digging and laughing and giggling and being toddlers. And all of a sudden, very inexplicably, the little boy gets up and runs off with the shovel. So what does the little girl do? Naturally, she starts crying because the dude took her shovel and left. And some of us know how that goes, right? So she's crying and crying and crying. And here comes mom running up in a panic. Oh, don't cry. Don't cry. It's okay. Don't cry. Don't cry, she says. Of course, the little girl keeps crying because she's upset because the boy took her shovel and left her by herself, sitting in sand. And mom, like, she's digging in her diaper bag. She's like, don't cry, don't cry. She takes a cookie out of her diaper bag and goes, here, have a cookie. I just want to say it took all my willpower not to intervene at that moment and say, what the hell are you doing, lady? You are giving your daughter food to make her stop crying. You are setting herself up for emotional eating. You are setting herself up for an eating disorder. What the hell? I didn't. I just sat there and observed. Little girl takes the cookie, eats it, stops crying. So what does that little girl realize? If you have a feeling from this experience, she learns, if you have a feeling, don't feel it. Don't be sad. Don't be sad. You're going to make other people anxious. And somehow it's just wrong. But if you absolutely can't stop yourself from being sad, a cookie will solve the problem. And then I realized later on, because I couldn't stop thinking about it, I realized that what I saw between that mother and that daughter is one day going to be internalized by that little girl. Because if this happens often enough, when she grows up and she's an adult and she feels sad, some internal part of her is going to go, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry, have a cookie. And that's how we learn to turn to cookies or whatever else to resolve our feelings instead of feeling them. Because the only way to get rid of feelings is to feel them. If that mom had said, oh, honey, I know you're upset, validate, acknowledge, and reassure yourself. If she had validated, of course you're upset, honey, your little friend just ran off and left you with the shovel. That's sad. Oh, it's going to be okay. You know, I know you're sad, but you'll play with someone else later. But right now, yes, it's sad. You know what? The girl would have cried and she would have gotten it out of her system and felt better. That's processing your feelings. Okay, so you want to be the nice mom to yourself, not the don't cry, stop that, don't feel that. Like, she wasn't being mean. She wasn't being like, stop that crying. I'll give you something to cry about, which is something so many parents have said, apparently. And by the way, how does that even work? I'll give you something to cry about. So wait, so you're crying. I don't like that you're crying, but I'm going to give you something to cry about, which will justify your crying. I don't even understand it. Okay. So we have to learn how to a different way to respond. We have to learn to be acknowledging and validating and reassuring. So keep in mind my acronym, VARY, validate, acknowledge, and reassure yourself. That is one way to respond to yourself when you're upset. Here's how to tolerate uncomfortable emotions. So being able to sit with emotions is essential. It can help with learning to tolerate them, right? You start to understand how these feelings affect your body and your mind. Because when you first start feeling something you don't want to feel, you might go straight to that cookie or that whatever to numb it out, to not feel it, especially if it's uncomfortable, if you're sad, if you're upset. But another essential step is not to judge that emotion as negative or positive, good or bad. Kind of like food, right? There's no unhealthy, there's no bad food or good food. There's just food, on a spectrum from unhealthy to healthier. But it's not bad. It's not good. Might be bad for you or good for you, but you know, we need a range of all different kinds to live. Same with feelings. People often talk about them like, oh, that was a bad feeling. That was a negative emotion. I don't want to feel negative emotions. Well, emotions are not negative and they are not positive. They just are. They're reactions to situations. They are neither positive nor negative, and they are not character flaws. So if you are feeling something painful, don't call it a negative emotion, because then you're going to tell yourself you're being negative, right? Lots of people say, oh, I was being negative. No, you're not being negative. You're feeling something. That's it. Period. Done. And the more that you can respond to that instead of, oh, don't feel that, have a cookie, right? The easier it's going to be. So the other thing to do is ask where you feel the emotion in your body, you know, because sometimes we feel an emotion in our bodies and it's so uncomfortable, we want to change how our bodies feel. And one way to do that is to cope with food or to binge or overeat. So allow yourself to know where that feeling is located in your body and just sort of be with it and know that it's going to dissipate. You're just feeling this for a little bit. Lots of people, when they become anxious, they eat a a ton of carbs to just calm themselves down, right? But if you can feel the anxiety and recognize that it's temporary and that it's okay, it's just telling you something about your situation right now. It's not going to stay that way. It's not going to last forever. It's going to be a lot easier to sort of stay with that feeling as you process it. All right, so here are some tips from an article called 7 Ways to Process Your Feelings, Especially If You Typically Ignore Them. And it is by Margarita Tartakovsky. Margarita, I hope I am not messing up your name, but she writes a lot for Psychology Today. And she says, when someone suggests that you feel your feelings, as I just did, you might be wondering, well, that's nice, but how the heck do I do that? Because if you're used to ignoring or dismissing your feelings or distracting yourself from them, this is foreign territory. This is something that does not come naturally to you. What comes naturally is, I feel a feeling, straight to the fridge or the drive-through or the pantry. And that's okay, and it's super common. A lot of us learn that way because of, you know, that story I told you about the mom and the toddler at the park. That is typical. Happens all the time. After I saw that, you know, I started seeing that all the time. And I a lot of times at the park, this one time this kid was running around, this little boy is running around, and the mom was like, put on a jacket. And he said, I'm not cold, Mom. And she said, I'm cold. Put on a jacket. And bless this little kid's heart, he said, you're cold, I'm not. And did not put on the jacket. And why that was important is because if someone tells you, hey, ignore what your body is telling you, ignore the fact that you're warm, do what I'm telling you to do, you lose touch with being in touch with what your needs are, whether it's for warmth or food or whatever. So very important to, you know, to check in with yourself on what it is that is going on with you. And many of us never learn to process our emotions because our caregivers really didn't know either. They were brought up with a, I'll give you something to cry about, and they pass it on. Or, don't feel that negative feeling. But they don't teach us how to feel our feelings, because as counterintuitive as it sounds, the only way to get rid of feelings is to, where's my drum roll? I don't have a drum roll. I need to get a drum roll. Ronan, can I have a drum roll, please, for a future radio show? Pretend I have a drum roll. The only way to get rid of feelings is to drum roll, feel them. Feel them. And again, if we think about kids, they do this before they learn not to do it. That little girl, she cried. She cried. She automatically, spontaneously cried. A situation happened. She felt bad. She cried. Had she been able to keep crying without her mom stuffing a cookie in her mouth, she would stop crying and be fine again. And, you know, for those of you with kids or who have seen kids or remember being kids, you know that. Like, you feel it and then you're done, right? It doesn't mean having a tantrum or weeping publicly. It means in your own adult way, expressing your feelings. Okay, so here are Margarita's 7 ways to ease into be healthfully processing your emotions. She says, 1, draw an outline of your body and mark where you're feeling with an X, for example. I like using color. Get some crayons, get some pens, colored pens or something. Maybe you're feeling a pounding inside your head, so you put, you know, an X by your head in your sketch. Maybe you feel it in your stomach, so you draw it in the center of your outlined stomach, or, you know, just wherever you're feeling it, write it down and do what resonates with you. Now, I would say, in addition to this, that's a clue. For example, if you have a headache, maybe that's a sign that there's something painful that you can't think about, that there's something just too scary and awful and painful to think about. So your painful emotion is turned into painful headache. Or sometimes, you know, we even have the expression, right? Oh, I can't stomach that. You know, maybe your stomach ache is a sign that there's something emotionally painful? What is the emotional ache that has been converted from emotions into physicality? Start asking that. Or shoulders, you know, what is it that's heavy on, what's weighing on you? What's heavy on your shoulders? Back pain, you know, what is it that's burdening you? So first you look at, this is not what she's saying in her article, but I'm adding to it. First you want to look at where that emotion is physically felt and think about, if it were not a physical pain, you know, what would it be? Describe your emotions in terms that a child would understand. Simplify. Don't try to analyze. Don't overanalyze. Use short sentences. Use easy-to-understand words. Sometimes we hide behind big, sophisticated terms and interpretations. But all this does is keep us living in our heads, in our minds, and feeling utterly disconnected from the actual emotion. So, you know, you could say, yes, I am experiencing some rather profound sadness. That is a thought, that is not a feeling. But when you say, I hurt, oof, that carries a punch, right? That's the difference. Then, step number three, how are we doing on time? Oh, we're good. Set a timer for 5 to 10 minutes or less, whatever you feel comfortable with. Think about your emotion. Zero in on where you're feeling it. Just sit with that feeling, and you know it's time limited because you've set the timer. Just sit with it until the timer goes off. I suggest starting off super, super small, like 30 seconds, right? No matter how awful you feel, you can probably bear it for 30 seconds, right? So just start with 30 seconds, and then that 30 seconds can become 45 seconds, can become a minute, and so on. She says, draw your emotion as a wave. How strong is it? How tall is it? How smooth or choppy is the water? What's the wind like? What's the overall weather? And remember that waves crest and fall, right? If you're feeling it's like, oh, it's getting tougher, it's tougher, it's tougher, it's getting so impossible to feel. And remember, it is going to crest and then it's going to diminish and go away. It's going to crash. And then it's going to be gone. She says, look at your face in the mirror or take a selfie and look at that. And look at your expression when you're experiencing any kind of emotion. This one is tough to do, I'm just going to warn you, but it's also very powerful. Look at what your brows are doing. Look at what your lips are doing, what your shoulders are doing, your eyes. Then draw yourself. Get to know what you look like when you're feeling all sorts of feelings. And she says this is also a powerful way to see yourself. She says use different markers or crayons or paints to draw the specific colors of your emotions. Is your sadness blue or black or purple? What color is fear? What color is excitement? What color is happiness? What hues are behind anger? What about shame? And so, by the way, all of this is doing is it's taking this internal mess of yuck that you feel, it's just and it's drawing out, instead of a just an ugly mess of yucky feeling, you're starting to identify, okay, what is it specifically? Because it's hard to deal with the big, ugly mess of feeling, but when you could just take a strand of it, or, I'm mixing metaphors, but one of the colors or another of the colors and deal with that, it becomes more manageable. She says, last, write about what's weighing you down, what feels like an anchor that's lowering you to the bottom of the sea. Ooh. What feels unbearable? What feels so big? Why does this emotion feel uncomfortable? Pinpoint it. Write it down on paper. And then you can rip that paper up into teeny tiny pieces after you're done, which is something I always recommend. There's something so satisfying about writing down some feelings and then ripping them up. It sounds kind of dorky every time I suggest it, but it works. Give it a try. Oh, I have a caller. All right, hold on. Hold on, caller. Hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina.
Hi, Dr. Nina. This is Kylene from Pennsylvania.
Kylene from Pennsylvania. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good.
What's on your mind today?
Well, I have a lot eating at me, and I am working on talking to myself like I talk to a friend and using your very example. And I want to know if I'm doing it correctly, as I tried it last week, and it's just due to the situations in my life, I have a couple big events going, and it's just trying to feel what I'm feeling. And it's, you know, Kylene, I'm sorry you're going through this. You're doing a great job handling certain situations, and talking to myself that way to support myself.
Okay.
And, you know, you can do this. You are strong, and I'm sorry you're going through this, and you're gonna make it. You're okay.
Okay. Well, I have a couple of thoughts. This is a great start.
I hear the you.
Yes. 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 Okay. So you're doing a great job of reassuring yourself, but you are mm-hmm. talking to yourself in second person. It's much more powerful to say, I'm going to get through this than you're going to get through this, or I'm doing a great job than you're doing a great job. So I'm glad
okay.
you caught
yourself.
And
I may have when I did that, but okay, I gotcha.
Okay, so you're doing a great job of reassuring yourself. I think you could do a little bit better in validating and acknowledging what it is you're feeling.
Okay, then I would do, like, I validate that the situations you're in are difficult.
I'm in. I'm being a pest, but it's so important.
Yes, I'm in difficult situations. I'm doing the best I can.
Wait, okay.
I am strong.
Okay, wait. So what you did is you go right to reassure, which is great. You've got reassured down pat. But what you're missing mm-hmm. is the emotion. I feel. What are the emotions? Okay. I feel what?
Oh, I feel sad. I feel overwhelmed. I feel burdened. I feel emotionally drained.
Okay, so this is good, because you need to be able to recognize that, validate it, and acknowledge it. Like, to say to yourself, I feel, you know, really sad, really overwhelmed, burdened with what's going on in my life. I feel drained, and of course I do. Who wouldn't? Given my situation, I feel these feelings, and I feel this way, and it's absolutely understandable that I feel this way. And then you go to the reassuring, which you have down pat. You're really good at the reassuring, but what you need is don't you know, skip over the yucky mm-hmm. awful feelings, you know, the sad yuck. So say,
okay.
Try it again, but include what you are feeling.
You want me to try it again right now?
I do. No time like the present.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Oh boy. I feel very burdened with the situations I have in my life, the daily decisions I have in my life at this moment. I do know these situations will change for the better. But right now I feel that I'm just very tired of dealing with these life decisions on a daily basis, and I feel overwhelmed and tired.
And of course I do. Anyone in my situation would feel this way, right? You want to
okay.
be able to say something like that, like you want to validate. So really the acronym, as I've said, should be acknowledge, validate, but that does not go with my easy to remember, very acronym. So validate, acknowledge, you want to acknowledge, yes, I feel this way, And of course I do. My situation is, oh, Kylene, I am so sorry. Again, we are out of time.
That's okay. Will you call me? This is great feedback, so I appreciate that.
Will you call me earlier in the show next time so we have more time to talk?
I will do my best.
Okay, that would be great. But so keep in mind that you want to acknowledge, don't go right to the reassurance. Make sure that you acknowledge the painful, sad, upsetting, burdened, maybe angry, might be in there, feelings that you have before you go to, you know, reassuring yourself. And that's going to help. And always use first person.
Okay, gotcha.
I know, you can do it.
I was enjoying your show. That's why it took me so long to call, because you were really giving some great things to talk about.
So. Oh, thank you so much. Well, you know, call me next week and hopefully we'll have a little more time.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Nina.
Okay, bye, Kylene.
Bye.
And that is our show for today. Thank you so much for joining me here on LA Talk Radio. I am here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. If you want more resources from me, you can go to my website, Dr. Nina Inc. That's INC, drninainc.com. I've got free downloads. I've got all kinds of things going on. And you want to sign up with my community now, because I have got exciting new things happening for 2019 and you don't want to miss them. All right. Thanks again for being here. I will see you next week. Bye.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.